Okay, welcome back. And as I was musing earlier, just imagine the late night talks going on in Israel right now. The latest is the formal news story stating that the Israeli political class reacts angrily to the Trump-Iran peace deal. Oh yeah, there are a lot of things being discussed right now. Count on it. Okay, it's time to say hello to Richard Allgaier, the remote viewer deluxe, who is back with us for his monthly chit-chat. Hello, Richard. How are you? Welcome back.
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing?
On top of the
Same.
world.
Great.
Now, you mentioned in your email that you wanted to discuss the disclosure film of Steven Spielberg. Have
Yes.
you seen it? You must
I
have.
watched it yesterday, yeah, I did.
Okay.
Don't ask me how. I didn't see it in the theater. I don't go to movie theaters these days.
I don't
I've
either.
gone. The last time I went was, every year they come out with a Star Wars. I don't know what sequel it was to Star Wars. I have no idea what the film was about. I went there with noise canceling headphones, and it was just this AI, not AI, but computer generated effects that I had
Yeah.
no suspension of disbelief. I didn't believe any of it. It was just, okay, there's a computer made thing, and then they
Right.
have these huge speakers with these subwoofers with this whoa, 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 horrible sound, and then the
Oh, they
music
vibrate you
track.
down to your DNA. I know what you're
Oh
talking about.
yeah.
I don't want
And
to be
then they
around
would
that.
have this music score that would swell
Yeah.
with every little they'd have. You could tell, like, it's like, okay, it's been 10 minutes. We need a climactic chase scene
It's
with
all
the.
contrived, all of it.
Yeah,
Nothing
so that's the
spontaneous.
last movie I saw. I don't go to theaters. It's too loud. It hurts my ears.
Right.
But I watched, don't ask me how. I saw it on my computer. I sent it to you last night
Yeah, thank
if you
you.
want.
You didn't sound the time needed to watch it, though, which I don't have right now.
Yeah,
But I'll get there. I thank
I
you for
took the
that.
time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. If anybody, I'm not going to give away the plot exactly,
No
but I want to talk
spoilers,
about,
but
no,
yeah, just
but a
talk about it
couple
in
of.
general. Good.
I think it was more of a remote viewing story, or as much of a remote viewing story as it was an ET story. So as I watched it,
Excuse me. How so? What is RV about the movie that without giving it away? Well, why do you say it's a very unusual thing to say about a movie? It's a remote viewing. Is it a remote viewing
well,
story? Is it something that a viewer might have imaged in his mind or
okay,
her
I'm going
mind?
to give a little bit of it away. Remember the film with Gene Hackman and Will Smith, Enemy of the
Yeah.
State, where this guy,
Yeah.
like, he did something and they pissed off the NSA and they were running from the NSA. They had some secret and they were on the run and the NSA was
That's a
tracking
pretty
them.
good movie, as I remember.
This movie, the plot is similar to that, in that the guy with the UFO secrets is on the run, and they use remote viewing to track him.
Oh, they
It's
actually do call it remote viewing
they
in the
don't
film?
call it remote viewing, but they okay, how can I say this without giving too much? There is one of the protagonists, one of the main characters, who is the high-level guy in this military industrial secret corporation that keeps the secrets, and this guy is on the run from them. And there's a point where the guy sits down in a chair. They put a picture up of the guy he wants to see,
I gotcha.
and he does this thing that is
I got it.
akin to remote viewing, and
Maybe he's, yeah. Yeah.
he does it. He does the remote viewing. He psychically accesses the guy, and then I okay. I don't want to pat myself too much on the back. 2008, I did a presentation at International Remote Viewers Conference, IRVA, on masking and entrainment, concepts that Glenn Wheaton brought out of the military and taught us, and I used it for a project. You can successfully put up a mask. You can use consciousness to create a mask so a target, a remote viewer will be unable to see a target. Okay, like I want you, okay, I could, if you're trying to remote view the St. Louis Arch and I had some capable remote viewers, we could put up a mask so that you would never see it. And that,
when you say mask,
that is
an interesting term. Tell me a little bit more. Can we call it a block?
Yeah, it's a block. And I think that's what they called it in the movie. So okay. They're trying to remote view this guy and he gets bumped off. And I went, wow, that's a mask. They blocked him. So yeah, a big portion of the movie involves remote viewing, emulation, and emulation is a term we used at Hawaii Remote Viewers Guild to, I would put it in scientific terms like quantum entanglement. So you emulate the target, you resonate with the target, you get your mind synced into the energetic frequency of the target. And so if you're remote viewing a person, you feel what they feel. You think what they think. You see what they see. And that was demonstrated in the movie Disclosure. I had heard, oh, yeah, they have a nod. You know, there's a little bit of remote viewing reference in there. But for someone who understands remote viewing, uh-huh. It was just all up and down the whole movie. Like at least 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah.
Well, touching things close to home, and obviously that's a feel-good thing for you because it empowers remote viewing. It does a lot. But in general, how does the film leave you? Does it leave you feeling, wow, I've never seen anything like that. Wow, what an unusual take on a story. Or is it kind of like Spielberg's greatest hits, given a new coat of paint, reconfigured, recycled, and then woven into a recognizable Spielberg script?
Yeah, it's Spielberg doing Spielberg.
Okay. Take on a story. Or is it kind of like Spielberg's greatest hits, given a new coat of paint, reconfigured, recycled, and then woven into a recognizable Spielberg script?
Yeah, it's Spielberg doing Spielberg.
Okay. Hold on. We lost you when you said it's got the Spielberg something, and then you dropped out. You're back.
Oh, okay. It's a Spielberg movie, and I'll get to that in a moment.
All right.
I'll deviate for a second. Remember when Close Encounters came out? I'm sure you can remember going to the theater to see
that. Yeah, that was a stunning experience. Yeah,
that was a moment we all remember because we were all interested in UFOs. We'd heard about UFOs, but there was no internet. There were no. I don't remember ever seeing videos like maybe were there documentaries where they showed it was like what you'd see books and magazines talked about it, but uh-huh. to have a major motion picture and it's like Spielberg did this movie about E.T., about flying saucers, and you didn't know what to expect, and you sat there and you're in the theater and it comes to like, what is this? They're out in the desert and there's a ship. And then there's the flight of the missing World War II planes. And then you're going, what is this? And then all of a sudden, Richard Dreyfuss is in the truck, and it's shaking, and the railroad sign is shaking, and the light comes in, and things are flying around, and you're going, whoa.
That was very, very atmospheric, heavy, that movie. Very good.
There's a similar storyline in Disclosure Day. It would be the Richard Dreyfuss is compelled to do things, and he's showing these kind of supernatural powers, and he's making the Devil's Tower with his mashed potato, and then he's building one, and he's just seemingly off. There's similar to that. The female protagonist is her boyfriend just doesn't know what to make of her, because all of a sudden she speaks Korean. All of a sudden she speaks in clicking sounds, which are alien sounds. And it's kind of similar to that. So it's kind of recycled Spielberg. There are a couple of moments. I thought there were some good chase scenes. The police force employed by the evil corporation, you know, the dark side.
The deep state.
Yeah, right. The deep state police guys, they're kind of like Keystone Cops, in my opinion, because they come rushing up in their black cars, and they need to find, you know, they go in the front door, but nobody checks the back door. Like, okay, you would secure, and then they don't secure the perimeter. They chase the guys, and you can just sneak out the side, and no one's looking. So some of that wasn't believable. There's a really high impact thing with a train, and some of the editing I didn't buy, because there's another train coming and there's something that's got to happen, and the train horn is going rah, rah, and it's getting closer, and then the timing is like, okay, this is either going to happen or it's not, and they cut to this shot and they cut back to the horn and it's coming, and it's like, no, that thing would have been 2 miles away. It's the editing. I wouldn't give it an
A for continuity. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it an Oscar for the editing, but you know, it was, maybe I'm being too harsh, but a lot of
is this the greatest
stuff?
Go ahead. Go.
They do they've got to throw everything in, like abductions. They've got to throw in crop circles. Like there's a gratuitous crop circle that just comes out of nowhere with no explanation for no reason. It's really? Like, okay, they make a crop circle. Like good visual effect, but why? What did it mean? So, yeah, look for the crop circle and try to think, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it again and look for hidden stuff. Like there's a scene where there's a big cow. And it on the cow is written something like, I think it's like, are there others, or are we not alone or something? And I was wondering if they were putting the message of, like, we're a farm. You know, we're just a herd of cattle. Because it was real blatant the way they're driving. There's this cow. It's a billboard cow. It's not a real cow. It's a billboard cow. It's like cut out billboard. And it's like, okay, they showed that for a reason. Like, try to figure out what the reason was. I'm maybe giving too much of this away. But, the ending. Okay, here's the part that got me, Jeff. I'm going to tell you something.
Don't give anything away. We don't want to ruin the ending.
There's a part that really moved me. Okay. Literally to tears. When I was in Salt Lake City, about 10 years old to 12 years old.
Yeah.
There used to be deer a couple of times came to my window. I looked out my window late at night, and there were deer in the yard looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And one time my mother came in and went, "Dickie, look at the deer." And we looked out and there were deer in the yard. And that was just, it just seemed so out of place. Like, why are there deer in our yard in the winter? Like, in a suburban place. Like, we didn't live out in the country. And in the movie, there, and they show this in the trailers, the E.T. present as deer. They're looking out the window. They're deer in the yard looking at them.
Are these deer or elk?
Elk. Well, maybe I could. Large.
Let's call them
animals.
We could call them
resemble deer with antlers.
We could call them delk. How's that?
Yeah, yeah. But so here I am. I have this remote viewing skill. Was there something more to the deer in my yard than I know?
Better take a look.
I don't know. So we'll see. So I liked the ending. The ending moved me. I thought, yeah, that would be cool. And I won't say what it was. But it was a well-done movie. It's worth watching. I'd go see it.
It's not his crown jewel, right?
What would his crown jewel be?
Is it his last hurrah?
Well, here's the question, Jeff. Is there a message that someone wanted us to get? Was there a purpose behind this? Was it some type of programming?
Are they setting us up?
Are they setting us up with the movie? I mean, all movies do that. It's predictive programming. And I don't know. I'll have to consider that. I just enjoyed it as a movie. I didn't try to analyze it too much, except for the remote viewing part. I looked at the... There's remote influencing. So when they remote view the people, they're trying to not just observe them, they're trying to get them to take action. So they're trying to be in one place, remote view them, and cause the person they're remote viewing to do things. And that's really difficult in my experience. So we've tried it, but maybe I don't think the real remote viewing technology has been released. I'm pretty sure of that.
It sounds like they went a little into the eclectic with a viewing prop in the script. That was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now here's Disclosure Day, not the film, but Disclosure Day, the reality, like if the government releases all the files, which they're not going to, but if they were, okay, if they at least admit some, and they kind of have been doing this with a soft opening, they're kind of sort of admitting it. Remote viewers are really interested in this because
in
Disclosure, because
okay,
you have UFOs which have been the target of a concerted psychological warfare, the giggle factor, the crazy, you and I were on the news, and whenever you did a news story on UFOs, the anchors always had to say, "Well, that's crazy. Well, this man must have been drinking." They ridiculed it. It was demeaned. It was
who
made
did?
Fun of.
Who ridiculed it? What are you saying?
There's this any time you see. In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, if any newscasters did a story about UFOs, they were compelled to, go, "Well, that's crazy," like wink and a nod, like, "Ha ha, yeah. They're loony, they're Looney Tunes." There's always been that association with, "Well, you see little green men, yeah, you're crazy." And so remote viewers, the first thing everybody wants to do when they learn to be a remote viewer is remote view the Roswell incident, remote view Area 51, remote view the Phoenix Lights. And so remote viewers have a double whammy, Jeff. They've got to overcome the built-in ridicule of if you believe in UFOs, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, I saw ET with my mind psychically. Oh, did you now? So, I mean, I when I was in mainstream news, I never would have gone out in public and said, yeah, I remote viewed an alien craft. It was only said in hushed tones in private. So the remote viewers are waiting for some confirmation of what they've done, some validation of their work. Like Daz and I did a lot of projects for Courtney Brown, Roswell, Area 51, Mars, moon bases, Iapetus, Phoenix Lights. So we're out there saying all these things were true and sketching what we saw. Mm-hmm. But there's no validation for it yet. We're waiting. What Daz and I are waiting for is some official agency or some general acceptance mm-hmm. of, yeah, there was a craft that looked like this, or, yeah, there was, like, Bob Lazar. We did a great remote view on that.
What did you come up with about Lazar? 50-50? What'd you see? I have my doubts. I don't know what to think about him, frankly, after, 30 years or whatever. I just don't know. He's got
What I got with Bob Lazar was there's a place that they sneak stuff in, and we got a desert area with a mountainside with a hidden door, and mm-hmm. then I had a bunch of scientists and military people looking at something scientific that they couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And at one point, I was doing a whiteboard. I was doing it live at the whiteboard. And I said, they're looking at this engine. They're afraid to turn it on. They don't know how to turn it on. It made a bunch of people sick. They don't understand it. And I said, there's one guy. And I said, that's Dennis. And I named Dennis. And that was Bob Lazar's. That was the name he used before he came out in public. He called himself Dennis.
Here's the question. Were you potentially remote viewing Lazar's
story as accepted in the general consciousness?
Ethos. Commonly accepted ethos of Bob Lazar. Is that what you were picking up on? Because you described it perfectly.
That's always a possibility, but I said a bunch of people got sick. This thing they did, they had something that hurt some people. And it has since come out that some people died investigating that the reactor or whatever the engine was. It lends more credibility to my remote viewing in my mind when I get data that isn't in the public discourse and then is later validated. And I'll give you an example of one. I was given a double blind target, and in my early work I go, wow, this is desolate. This is middle of nowhere. It's really cold. There's nothing around for miles. And I thought, man, have they put me on another planet? And I said, no, there's atmosphere. It's just really cold. And there's a mountain that is real steep. And I go, okay, there's guys here and they're on an expedition. And they've got like a base camp and they're out here in the middle of friggin' nowhere. And then I said, over here, they're interested in something that's underneath this mountain. And I drew the mountain, and I said, they're like explorers. Are they on another planet? No, I think this planet, but it's way out. No, I didn't say Antarctica, but I described it well. And then I said, okay, they're looking in. There are layers underneath with evidence of a older civilization that looks Egyptian. And then I'm looking at that and think, oh man, am I making this up? It's all disjointed. Like first I think I'm on another planet, then it's cold, barren place, there's expedition. Then I see what looks like Egyptian stuff. And then I bilocated and I saw a man in a jumpsuit. And he was walking, there was a portal and it was shimmering. And I had the realization that this is like a Stargate. Like he walks through this thing and shimmers and he ends up somewhere else. So I go, well, that's pretty weird. So I drew that. So I did this whole session and that was kind of the highlight of it, was this mountain in the middle of nowhere in a cold place. And then these guys on the expedition.
Have you ever viewed or been given a blind target, which turned out to be Mount Hayes?
No. So that's it. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, I'll finish the story. So I saw this Stargate. Yeah. The target I was viewing was Buzz Aldrin. A few years ago, went on an expedition to Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, it's true, it's pure evil. And then he had a heart attack and was...
He had a heart attack down there.
Yeah. And
had to
the target
out.
Was
risky. Yeah.
What he saw. And so I said, well, man, I saw this like jump station Stargate. And I didn't know anything about Buzz Aldrin going to Antarctica. I had not heard of that before the remote viewing. And I thought, Buzz Aldrin went to Antarctica and what? And I was researching that. And I found a clip that Linda Moulton Howe had done where she interviewed like some special forces, like Navy SEAL or Green Beret, that claimed to have been there. And he said, yeah, there's an opening underneath the area where Aldrin went, and it's Egyptian civilization remnants underground, and there is a Stargate portal. And I went, holy crap, that's what I saw in my remote viewing. So,
well, remember the original Egyptian civilization is the one that built the great monuments in Giza and so forth, not the current one. So you have to remember whatever they were really called back then, and this may have been an extension of that. That's what you came up with anyway. That extended
and they
all
had,
way down to the Antarctic. Could have.
And apparently they had these portals that are on certain meridians or certain grid lines on Earth where there is the energy is such that they can pop to other planets. And that's the big secret. And a lot of these areas they had to be disabled. So, okay.
They had to be disabled.
What I've been told by
us?
The source that briefed me said it.
Who disabled
them? Here's the story that I've been told. And this is not through remote viewing. This is through a representative of higher powers that got a hold of me because of my remote viewing and said, okay, you're a good remote viewer. You're getting good data. You need to be careful. And here are some things you should not probably probe too much. And what I was told was, there have been at least six previous civilizations on Earth. And the civilization is like a, I don't want to say experiment, or they watch us grow and they see this technology. And it's, I don't know if it's to harvest energy or to watch, like, like you buy an ant farm and you watch the ants do, or you buy an aquarium, right? You watch the fish do their thing, or the ants do their thing. And then at some point, that ant farm or aquarium runs its course, and you clean out the aquarium and you start again. And that's what they're doing with Earth. It's like they start again. And there are, when a civilization gets to the point where they get the power of the gods, which would be Tesla energy, zero point energy, the energy to power the craft that can go to the stars.
Right.
At that point, the game's over. They can't let, we're too stupid to be allowed to have that. So once we're on the verge of getting that, it's like Jim Mars, exactly, who said, oh, the kids right have found now the matches.
Yeah.
God, we use Jim Mars, don't we? So there have been other civilizations that they watch us progress. They seed us technology, and it's a game, and it's a real interesting show, and let's see what they go this time, and let's see what they do with this. But when we get to the point where we can have the power that they have, they shut it down.
We're not competent. They're not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
We're stupid. We haven't really evolved much in 3,000, 4,000 years. We're still primitive. We're still killing each other. We're eating animals. Come on. It's stupid. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and there's about to be some big changes coming.
Huge. Huge. Well, only six times they've reset their game on this particular habitable planet. I would suggest that there's a lot more prior to those six times. We're talking about 4+ billion years here. They wouldn't wait that long. So, you know, we found artifacts in, what the hell, billion-year-old plus rock deposits in South Africa, the carved spheres in South Africa, over 1 billion years old. Anyway,
the Earth resets itself. The plates drift together, and then they melt into the magma, and then they collide, and it makes new mountains, and it makes new landforms. And that would be a great remote viewing target. I've always thought about that. It would be like the Earth 10 million years in the future, what the continents look like. Could you draw the map? That would be a tough project. So far, this UFO disclosure has been pretty bland. I mean, they're not giving us there's a light in the sky. And the last one, they had like artist rendering, like, oh, here's an orb that was seen. Artist rendering.
The saddest part of it is that there are still a lot of people who believe that E.T. doesn't exist, that we're the only game in town. I just was sent the other day a sealed affidavit of Walter Haut, H-A-U-T, who was the public information officer at Roswell.
Yep.
And this is right after World War II. Those men, when they were told not to talk, they didn't talk. Well, he was finally convinced later in his life to at least do something to validate what really happened there. And he agreed to do an affidavit where he wrote down precisely what he experienced after the Roswell crash. He saw the wreckage. He saw the bodies. And I've got it. I just got the statement from it. It's fascinating. So it's a legal affidavit. Now, why would he do that unless it's 100% true? And that's not the only one I have. So, yeah,
what did he say he saw? The bodies?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hold on here. He describes a meeting on Tuesday, July the 8th. I would attend the regularly scheduled staff meeting at 7:30 a.m. at Roswell. And he names all the people there, brigadier generals. Remember, Roswell was the world's first and only operational nuclear bomb-capable Air Force base in the world. So it was absolutely top priority. He said the main topic of discussion was reported by Jesse Marcel and Sheridan Cavett, the two very well-named and known people in the Roswell story, regarding an extensive debris field in Lincoln County, 75 miles northwest of Roswell. A preliminary briefing was provided by General Blanchard about the second site, approximately 40 miles north of town. Samples of wreckage were passed around the table. They all handled them. It was unlike any material I had ever or have ever seen in my life. Pieces which resembled metal foil, paper thin yet extremely strong, and pieces with unusual markings along their length were handed from the top of the table, man to man around the room, each voicing their opinion. No one was able to identify the crash debris. One of the main concerns discussed at the meeting was whether or not we should go public with the discovery. And they went on from that. Let me find one more piece here. At approximately 9:30, Colonel Blanchard phoned my office and dictated the press release of having in our possession a flying disc coming from a ranch northwest of Roswell, and Major Marcel flying the material to higher headquarters. That would have been at Dallas. I was to deliver the news and the news release to radio stations, blah, 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 two of them in town in Roswell, and newspapers, the Daily Record and the Morning Dispatch. Well, that story broke worldwide. RAAF, the Roswell Army Air Force, it wasn't the formerly known Air U.S. Air Force then, it was still the Army Air Corps, RAAF, captures flying saucer. Made a big deal. And they watched it happen, and then word came down from the Pentagon, reverse the story immediately. This does not get released to the public, and that's where you saw poor Major Marcel having to hold up pieces of rickety weather balloon wreckage in Blanchard's office saying, this is what really was found. No UFO wreckage.
And the look on his face.
Oh, it tells the story. He said, before leaving the base, Colonel Blanchard took me personally to Building 84, a B-29 hangar located on the east side of the tarmac. Upon first approaching the building, I observed that it was under heavy guard, both inside and outside. Once inside, I was permitted from a safe distance to first observe the object just recovered north of town. It was approximately 12 to 15 feet in length, not quite as wide, about 5 feet high, and more of an egg shape. Lighting was poor in the hangar, but the surface did appear to be metallic. No windows, portholes, wings, tail section, or landing gear was visible. Also, in the hangar, I was able to see a couple of bodies under a canvas tarpaulin. Only the heads extended beyond the covering, and I was not able to make out any particular features. The heads did appear larger than normal, and the contour of the canvas over the bodies suggested the size of a 10-year-old child. At a later date in Blanchard's office, he would extend his arm about 4 feet above the floor to indicate their height. And it goes on from there. That's just a little snippet of it. But that's why would this man write an affidavit like this after a distinguished career and after keeping the Roswell secret for, what, 30 years? I mean, before he died, he did this. What year was this?
Deathbed confession, 19, yeah.
Oh, it was 2002? Looks like 02. Yeah.
He wanted to get
no,
it off
it was 1960... Seven, it looks like here. Anyway, yeah, he's written it in military style. Anyway, that's Walter Haut, H-A-U-T, the public information officer of Roswell. Why would he do that unless it was 100% true? He wouldn't. He died in 05, and this was opened after he died. From the book Witness to Roswell by Tom Carey and Don Schmidt. They have over 20 deathbed confessions from people who finally gave it up when they were about to die, the truth.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to read that book. I haven't read that one. That's good. Well, there's two problems, Jeff, with disclosure. The first one is the cover-up. They would have to give a lot of pardons because a lot has been done. People have been killed. People have been had their lives ruined.
Many.
You know, once they start unraveling that,
right,
they would have to give a blanket pardons. And then the next problem is a bigger problem. What's the big story? What's the ultimate story? It's like, maybe it's not just like, oh, well, we're humans and we evolved on Earth kind of on our own and some aliens evolved over there and they got the technology. They came here and they came here about 1947 and they started looking at us because we had the atom bomb and yeah, they're a little smarter than us, but we can get along, like they help us out. What if their story is they're the gods, they're the Greek gods, that the Greek mythology was, you know, Thor and all those gods.
So they're 100 times more intelligent than we are.
And they created us. They created Earth. This is a botanical garden. They terraformed it. They introduced the DNA, and they made it into a really interesting place. Like, they make caterpillars that look like leaves or insects that can look like a leaf or a, you know, all the
right.
Jellyfish with this pet, whatever. And we're a botanical garden. And that we were introduced here, they use technology of DNA, which is a molecular assembly machine, to create these flesh suits for our souls to inhabit. And some of us are here under orders. Some of us are here as volunteers. And some of the humans here are just props. They really have no purpose other than to just be props to keep the game going. So you can tell humanity that, and that's going to be a tough one.
You wanted to play a video, a music video?
Yeah, let's get a little lighter. This is how I got in trouble with my family this week. You've been following the Pratt commercials in
Los Angeles. Not a lot.
I like his commercials. He's using AI. So this is a great song. It's a bossa nova that the message of the song is that they stole the election from Pratt and that California is just a complete, I want to use a bad word, it's a S show. So, but it's a really good song. And I thought it was so cleverly done. I put it up and my family is just up in arms. They're just blasting me on Facebook. Like, how dare I put this up? I'm a well-known figure.
Really?
And they're accusing me of how dare I propagate these lies that there's nothing wrong with the elections in California. It's all on the up and up. There's no evidence of anybody voting that shouldn't vote. So play a little bit of the song if you can. It's kind of a cool song.
Yeah. Well, what's happened to Los Angeles and California is really a tragedy of world scale. It's a terrible thing.
You were there when it was a great place.
Many were there, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. And
it's
now
terrible. Now, Carol, this horrible.
Karen Bass.
Horrible woman is advancing to the general election.
Oh, the
after the primary.
Well, Karen Bass is a communist. The other one is a woke socialist. So
there's not much difference. No, it's too late. It's too late. It's gone. Okay, let me find this and I'll play it. This is, I guess, an AI creation. Spencer Pratt did it. Let's see if you can understand.
I don't know if
it.
He did it, but his people did it. It's done
it
on behalf of
him. Came from his camp.
Him.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, on behalf of him.
All right, here we go.
We're losing our grace. Welcome to California, a banana republic. City of angels, but the angels flew away. Smog in the sky and a shadow on the bay. The voter rolls are rolling, but the numbers look strange. They promise us a future, but it's just more of the same. Had the heat, the second spot was a lock. Then a late wave landed like a sudden system shock. How did the late mailing drop take away the crown? Drop the hometown hero to the bottom of the town. If it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, the ballot box is broken and the city's out of luck. The Los Angeles mayoral race stinks to high heaven. LA deserves a basura to finish her off. Pratt and Basura were holding up the front line while the early drop boxes show a normal design. But hold up, wait a minute, look at days two and three. The late arriving ballots tell a different history. Rhyming kicks their butts. Changes from the rear. If it looks like a duck, if it swims like a duck, the ballot box is broken and the city's out of luck. The Los Angeles mayoral race stinks to high heaven. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. So I put that on Facebook just because I thought it was clever. And my family was incensed. They're just furious. They're just blasting.
Really, that is a shame to hear how people could be that stupid to become emotionally invested in lies and fraud.
And wow. I said, I posted, well, I was going to go to California and vote because, of course, I could have cast a ballot with just a gym membership. Or I could sign any of the mail-in ballots with any name I wanted, and they wouldn't check it. And my own family member would say, why are you saying these lies? This is not true. There's no evidence of that. And how dare you?
Oh, my. Well, okay, you talked about some people are just props. I'm sorry, but I think the majority on the planet are just props.
They don't have souls.
That's very – they're just empty suits. There's nothing there.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. Well.
Anyway, I need to take a step back and love my family because family's good. They play music with them,
It's very disheartening to hear that people that you care about are just that mentally deficient. It's true. There's no other way to phrase it. You can't something that corrupt. Wow.
I just did a segment really quickly for futureforecastinggroup.com, FFGRV.com. Europe kicked out Microsoft and Google. No governments in Europe will be allowed to use Google search engine or Microsoft Office products. They're going with different software. they kicked both of those out. And that's a big implication. So I just did a segment on our, I'll come back next time. We'll talk about that, but
very
there's
good.
Big stuff going on. And it's great talking with you, Jeff. I hope you, you know, hang in there.
Thank you,
it's
Richard.
Not easy for all of us. My cryptos are languishing. I'm down too. But
Well, maybe they'll come back. Who knows? All right, you be good. Take care.
All right, Jeff.
Be safe.
Take care, man.
Dick Allgaier. And, that's really heartbreaking to hear. A family rising up to make such stupid statements. Well, it's legal, the right to free speech. But we expect better of those around us. That's it for Monday. Back with you tomorrow night. You take care. Talk soon. Be well.